Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for our midweek Bible study right here on our website. There are so many things happening around the world today. The title of our broadcast today, as always, our Bible study is Let's Talk About Jesus. There may be things that are crowding in and things of great import. We shouldn't and couldn't bury our head in the sand and ignore the times that we are living, the incidents that are occurring around the globe that threaten all of us one way or another, and certainly affect all of us. But we are told in the scripture to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but much more as we see the day approaching. No one knows the day or the hour of the coming of Christ, but the Bible said we should know the season of His coming prophetically, and we should be ready for His coming. And we should not be so distracted by the things that are occurring in the last days that we lose our hope and we lose our attitude toward all of these things. We see them in a different light than the world sees them. One person put it simplistically but very truthfully when it said the world only sees a hopeless end, while we as God's children have an endless hope. And there's nothing more important right now in this world than hope, this glad anticipation of future good that brings a gladness right now and brings a reality of deliverance and help that is on the way, that is coming, because Jesus Christ is coming soon. Now, if you don't know Him as your Savior, that's not necessarily a good thing, because it means you're going to be left here to face all that is coming when the tribulation, the wrath of God, the day of Jacob's trouble, all of these terms used for the outpouring of the judgments of God upon a world that has rejected His Son. God is coming for a church that is without blemish and spot, that has been cleansed by the washing of water by the Word, initially cleansed by the blood of Jesus and saved, but that's positional cleansing. But practical cleansing is when we begin to live out, flesh out, and walk out our faith. Hallelujah. As God's children, we begin to walk and live in an obedient life. And there will be a conflict between flesh and spirit, but God will help us win this conflict. God will help us win this battle. We will not be sinlessly perfect, but we should be and can be perfectly committed to not letting sin reign in our mortal body to fulfill it in the lust thereof. Actually, we're told to crucify the flesh and the lust thereof that we might walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, let's go back to our study that we have begun. We've opened this up, and there's much more that we need to know on the subject. The example of Enoch, the seventh from Adam. We began this in our last midweek Bible study. We're going to continue it in this second edition of this Bible study. Enoch is an example that we desperately need today. How should we live? How should we live? What should we be doing in terms of and in light of the times that we are living? We want this to be relevant to us. He's the seventh from Adam. We're going way, 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 way back. But he walked with God. That's what we want to bring out and focus on today. In a progressively wicked world, Enoch walked with God. I'm going to tell you, as a child of God in these days, we all should be walking with God. We're going to take a look in this study of what it means when it says walking with God, this intimacy, this fellowship relationship with Him is vitally important to our victory in these days and our readiness for the soon coming of Jesus Christ. I just want to read once again from Genesis 5, 21 through 24. It said, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. Something occurred in his life, in his knowledge of, his revelation of, and his relationship to God. Something happened at 65 years of age, and Enoch began to walk with God, and he walked with God for 300 years as the world became progressively more and more wicked. And he was not, for God took him. Now this meant that he didn't see death. We see that in Hebrews 11 and verse 5. God didn't just let him die, or, you know, it says by faith Enoch in Hebrews 11, 5 was taken away, so he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So now there's a correlation of walking by faith with God, who is invisible and yet very, very viable, very, very real. He pleased God. He had this testimony before he was taken, that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You know, the Scripture says that we will find Him when we seek for Him with all of our heart. There are so many distractions today. And there's so much of the Christian faith that is showcased in kind of an entertainment from the platform. The praise, the worship, the presentation is to entertain instead of engage people and to actively seeking God. And the Bible said once we begin to seek the Lord. And by the way, that we need to seek Him wholeheartedly. Let me go back and pick something up here that I believe is an important principle. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. In the actual Greek, it connotates those who seek Him out. This attitude of, Lord, I'm going to seek You till I find You. I have been given the opportunity through the blood of Jesus for a reconciled relationship with You. Now I want to know You. This was the goal of the great apostle Paul, who had all of these gifts operating in his life, who had a revelation of the Word of God that he wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. Amen. But there was something about him that God moved in that particular, peculiar way in his life to bring us all of these epistles, all of these letters that are inspired by the Holy Spirit. What was his relationship? What set up that fellowship relationship with God that allowed the Holy Spirit to use him so mightily? The Apostle Paul had a strong desire, oh, that I might know Him. Hallelujah. Oh, that I might know Him. Not just know about Him, not just have gifts from Him, not just the power of God. That he wasn't just seeking the power, he was seeking the person. And because he sought Him like he did, there was a peculiar relationship. There had to be when God chose him to be an oracle in his behalf, to speak in his behalf, to write as he was moved on by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So listen, seeking God, something happened in Enoch's life at 65 years of age. Maybe it was how wicked the world was becoming, but something triggered him to seek the Lord. And he sought him evidently wholeheartedly. The Bible said, "You will find me when you seek after me with all of your heart." This half-hearted, half-baked, just go to church on Sunday and live like the pagans Monday through Saturday, that is not how to seek the Lord. And it most certainly has, not only is it not walking with God in a close, intimate fellowship relationship, it's actually walking away from God. Listen, friend of mine, we need to draw near. We need to shelter under His wings. We don't need to be out there on our own and just tipping our hat on Sunday in case we really need a miracle. Friend of mine, we need to be close to God every single day, 24/7. We don't need to just run to God in a crisis. We need to be walking with Him regardless of what comes, because we will be in a safe place, because Thou hast made the Lord Thy God, the psalmist said, Thy habitation. This is not where we visit on Sunday or visit in a crisis. This is a God that we make our habitation, and under His wings Thou art come to trust. Psalm 91. Psalm 90, I like the beginning of that. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place. Our dwelling place throughout all generations. Praise God. Psalm 91, because Thou hast made the Lord Thy God Thy habitation, Thy dwelling place, and under His wings Thou art come to trust. You don't have to be afraid anymore of all the things that are going to occur in a faulty body, in a fallen world with a formidable foe, the devil, who's set on our destruction. A friend of mine, you will not be afraid of the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that waste at noonday, or the plague, for it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Listen, it's easy to get caught up and feel as vulnerable as everyone else, but we are the covenant children of the Most High God. In the New Covenant in particular, we, both Jew and Gentile, that have received Christ as our Savior, amen, we are able to call the Creator of heaven and earth and the universe and all that in them is, Abba, Father. We have a Father in heaven, not a force somewhere in the universe. And because we begin our prayer with our Father, it implies a fellowship relationship. First, reconcile that we might call Him Father positionally, but practically and personally that we might call Him Father, because now we have an intimate and personal relationship with Him and to Him. Thereby, we have the ability and capability and great privilege and honor of walking with God. In this generation that we are living in, we can walk with God in a progressively wicked generation. Praise God. Amen. We, as God's children, can walk with Him, and we need to be very close to Him now more than ever. Enoch lived in a progressively wicked world, but he walked with God. Amen. Can we walk with God today? Should we? Could we walk with God? Listen, we need to realize that particularly in these last days, when many will be caught up in the riptide away from God. We should be caught up in a mighty movement, a mighty revival of drawing near to God. To walk with God in these last days, we must purpose in our heart to live diametrically different than the world about us. Titus 2:11 through 14, listen to it. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Isn't that an amazing challenge to us? This is how we should live. This is how we could live. And if we want to walk in victory and stay away from the falling away and not get caught up in this riptide, this current pulling people out of the presence of God, out of the seeking of God, to the seeking of the same things the world is going after. Friend of mine, we dare not get caught in this current. We need to do what Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing, reaching for those things that are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. I don't go with the flow. I don't let my flesh pull me back. I keep straining forward. That's what press means in the Greek, to strain forward. The coming of the Lord is so near. Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. And we should be living in the light of the soon coming of Jesus. It's the only hope. And in the meantime, sharing that blessed hope with the world about us. There's never a better time to share the testimony of Jesus and the hope that the gospel gives us when it looks so hopeless and people feel so helpless to control all the things that are happening globally around the world, economically, socially, social unrest, global unrest, the military threat, the threat of nuclear exchanges from nations that are like rattling the sabers and threatening to loose the dogs of war. Oh, friend of mine, the world needs some good news bad, and the gospel is good news for a world that has no hope left. Now, one day a man's going to step on the scene, the Antichrist. He's going to have the answer. He's going to have the solution. He's going to step onto the scene when the world is so war-weary. Wars and rumors will wear them down, wear us out, wear us thin, and they will embrace someone that will come on the scene. Years ago, I am told that in the United Nations, some representative, I don't have all the details, but I remember many years ago, it's more relevant what was stated now than it was when it was stated back then. But one of the representatives of one of the nations stood up in the very threat of nuclear exchanges during the Cold War. He stood up and he said, we need someone who can come on the scene and cause the nations to put down the weapons of war and find a way to find peace with one another. Whether he be angel or devil, we care not. You see, the world is going to embrace whoever can come on the scene. This is a false peace. And when the Antichrist comes on the scene, he will be a man with diplomacy. He will be a man with the peace plan that the nations will embrace. The devil will work with him and in him and through him. Literally, all of those demons that incite war will lay back, so that a false peace can occur for a very short period of time. And then all of the judgments of God are going to fall upon this planet. This is no time to use grace as a license to sin. That is not the purpose of grace. Listen carefully. I want to read this again from the beginning. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. We're saved by grace through faith. It's the gift of God. Listen. This grace that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. It's been made known. And here's what grace is teaching us. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness, it's not works that save us, but it's works that define us as saved men and women, boys and girls. Not sinless perfection, but certainly not sinfulness, living in unconfessed, unconcerned about sin. No, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Listen, in this present world. Amen. In this world, the Bible said that we should be living diametrically different than the world about us. Our values should not match theirs. And that's why the message of just get rich, that God wants everybody as rich and richer than the Wall Street mogul, than the Hollywood star, the sports star, the music star, the millions and the mansions and the jewelry and all of the things that they acquire, as if that would satisfy our soul and that would satisfy and please God. Make no mistake about it, God's going to take care of you and me. He's going to provide for us. Amen. He's going to give us all that we need for life and godliness. And that's all we need, friend, to live pleasing to God and to find peace and joy and fulfillment in our soul, to be content with what we have, because He said, I'll never leave you, amen, and never forsake you. Praise God, to find fulfillment in Christ and the hope we have in Jesus, and having food and raiment, therewith be content. For godliness with contentment is great gain, or literally, I'm going to say it is, I'm going to paraphrase it, the true riches. This is what it really means to be rich. The rich aren't doing so well today. I tell you, the rich have not found what they're looking for. But the true child of God that is living in all the blessing and benefit of the kingdom of God that is within us, and the promise and the hope that is before us. Grace teaches us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, that we should live as saved, sanctified children of the Most High God, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Scripture said, in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, that's our present world, you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, literally exemplifying the word of life. Where's that word of life coming from? Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. And when we tell them the offer of God and the offer of Christ to save us, to forgive our sins, to reconcile us to God, to allow us a peculiar relationship with Him, that we would become, as the Scripture said, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Hallelujah. Praise God, that we might show forth the praises or virtues of Him that called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Praise God. Listen, and what is the impetus for us to live this separated, sanctified life in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation? Verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Not just take us out of the world all tore up and beat up and tow up from the flow up. No, friend of mine, that he might come for a church that has been washed with water by the word, that he may present us unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy. Amen. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Amen. And purify unto himself a peculiar people. A holy generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, we're not just talking about being kind and being merciful and being giving, a philanthropist, giving to good causes, but these good works begin with following Jesus Christ, denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following him. So the first element and example in walking with God in these last days that we find in Enoch is that he purposed in his heart to seek the Lord. And in that fellowship relationship with God, you'll find me when you seek after me with all of your heart. Something triggered that at 65 years of age. And I believe it was seeing how wicked the world was becoming. Instead of being like a turtle and drawing its head in the shell, he purposed to seek the Lord. I need to find God in the midst of all of this, and I need to walk close to him and live close to him. At 65, Enoch begin a walk with God, because it said it, and he lived to be 65 years, and he walked with God for 300 years. He would have been 365 if he had died, but he didn't die. He was 365 years of age when God took him. And the Bible said here in the book of Hebrews that he did not see death because he walked with God by faith. Hallelujah. Dear friend of mine, this is no time. This is no time to be caught up in the riptide, in the current that is flowing swiftly and forcefully away from God. This is a time to draw near to him. This is the time to seek and find shelter under the covert of his wings. As Psalm 91 says, listen, this great psalm of hope in the midst of all kinds of trouble and possibilities that can befall us, and particularly in our day to day, in the perilous time, dangerous time that we are living, because thou hast made the Lord thy God thy habitation. Not just someone you visit on Sunday, someone you visit in the time of trouble and then immediately fall away and drift away and flow away from and go away from until more trouble drives you back to him. No, because thou hast made the Lord thy God thy habitation, and under his wings thou art come to trust. Thou shalt not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that wastes at noonday, nor the plague, for it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. Praise God. 1,000, listen, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, and shall not come nigh thee. Listen, why? Because you're living in a fellowship relationship with God. You're walking in the Spirit. You're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. You're following Jesus' example. You're following the one who went before us and overcame, that we might follow his example and know the victory that he has achieved in our behalf at the cross. Hallelujah. And because of His resurrection. Well, I pray today, as we study about Enoch as our example in the Old Covenant, Christ in the New Covenant, that we can live victoriously in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, that we might become lights in a sin-darkened world, and that the darkness would not cancel the light, but the light would shine in the darkest places, and men and women would see the glory of the gospel in and through us, and they would come to know Christ as their Savior, that they might gain the hope not only of eternal life in the world to come, but a place of shelter right here, right now, in this very, very dangerous world in which we are living. Oh, friend of mine, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, I know that He's speaking directly and distinctly to your heart today. I know that He's calling you to walk with Him, but first to come with Him and come to Him, repenting of your sin, receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then pursuing Him, seeking Him, and finding Him, and finding in Him a place of refuge, a peace of knowing that He is now caring for you, sheltering you. As so many times has been reaffirmed in this ministry, as we reach out to others, God wants to save you. God wants to seal you with the Holy Spirit. And God wants to keep you safe from the wrath to come and give you hope until Jesus comes. And friend, He's coming very, very soon. You don't want to miss the coming of Jesus for the glorious church that He presents to Himself. Oh, come to Christ. Run to Christ today. Find shelter, find hope, find peace in a world that will never find it in anyone or anything else. In Jesus' name.